Ladies and gentlemen, good evening and welcome to the Woodworking Podcast, the Green Suitors Podcast, episode 127, meaning that 126 times prior to this, we graced you with our voices. You're welcome, America.
And we're doing it again.
World. You're welcome, world.
Soon to be broadcasting.
Hello, everybody.
Soon to be broadcasting on the moon as well.
Exactly, yeah. Matter of fact, I think, aren't we next year, aren't we doing one of our recordings from the moon?
That's the plan. We're checking on it. We're going to see if we have enough patron money to get there.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure
we might see a moon this weekend at WorkbenchCon. You never know.
Speaking of...
Sedgy streaking through the lobby at 2 a.m.
sir.
Moon over Miami.
Speaking of patrons, guess what, guys? We have a new one.
Yay.
No kidding.
And tonight, we would like to welcome our newest apprentice, Mr. Clayton Ricketson.
Hi, yay. Clayton. Welcome aboard.
Welcome.
Apprentice. Clayton P. Ricketson. Welcome. And as an apprentice, you get access to a little something we call Bourbon with the Boys.
The Boys.
Yes.
Let's talk about that.
Which was a 10-hour call.
Oh, my God.
Yes,
hey,
it was.
I heard, Ronnie. Hey, do we have any other business yet? Before we start talking.
No, we're not doing the giveaway or anything. I guess this is the last one where we told people that they can go out and fill out that thing. Because the next episode after WorkbenchCon, we're going to draw the winner. If we end up having a monthly giveaway sponsor this month, I still have not contacted anybody. And I do feel a little bit bad about asking right at the end of the month, like, hey, we haven't talked about you all month. You want to do a giveaway that I'm going to call in a week? But we'll see. A lot of them probably don't care. But we're going to draw for the gifts for the people who filled out the survey, which Nicole did send out another copy of the survey. I have not asked her how many more people have filled it out. So that will be on the next episode. So if you're listening to this and you haven't done it yet, check your email and we'll do it there. Now, moving forward, Nicole brought up a good point. She's like, well, how many times, because you're going to keep getting new patrons, like how many times are we going to do this? So something that she did was she included when somebody signs up, for example, Mr. Ricketson, when he signed up, I'm sure he had to put his city and state where he's from. It didn't ask for that before, but she changed it so it does.
I think that, well, Nicole sent us the spreadsheet, and we were talking about it yesterday. Oh, my God. It is so, because I was just sorting it by different, you know, whatever, states or all kinds of stuff you can sort within that. And I was like, wow, we got people from Denmark, UK, Qatar. Yeah. Mm-hmm. This is unreal. Yeah, it's great. Really it is. So, boy, a lot of people from Californication and Texas.
You said when you checked, it's primarily more around the Midwest area, correct?
Yeah, lots. I couldn't believe all the people from Indiana, Ohio, yeah. Michigan, KY. Yeah.
Because when we figure out this meetup thing, I think centralized is going to be the best bet.
Yeah, a lot of really people do. From Illinois. I was like, wow, this is awesome. So
I think it'll be good.
Which is probably the same reason why a lot of them are in that area on other events too. You know, Nashville, Atlanta, there always seems to be kind of somewhere in that area.
Mm. Yeah.
But we had quite a few people from Texas. I was impressed with that. It's pretty neat. Like I said, California, it's kind of cool. One of the things I hate, and as I was going through the names, it's like,
Eric Spensley and Off the Cut Podcast.
Oh my God, I can't believe it. But what I was seeing some names that I recognize, and I hate it when I can't remember people. They've come up to me at a show or whatever. Hey, remember we talked about this? And I go, oh yeah. And then it'll click every once in a while. But sometimes I'm just like, shoot, I wish I could remember.
Can we talk about that for a minute? Because I think we're all in the same boat. So
yeah,
I'm glad you brought that up.
And I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. Right. That's my problem.
Well, there's so many people. When we go to these shows, there's so many people that you meet and talk to that you can't remember every single one. And I felt really bad because the other day I was in Kroger and a guy came up to me, or he walked by me and he was like, oh, I have the Grabo too. It's a great tool. And I'm like, what? I thought I misheard him. I'm like, what are you talking about? It was right after I released the new video. And he was like, oh, I was just watching your video this morning. And he started talking to me. I'm like, oh man, cool. You know, small world. And he was like, well, we met at the woodworking show and we talked for a while. And I was like, damn it. You know, like I feel bad because
I do too.
It's not that I,
well,
you just meet so many people.
Well, especially at a show, you see so many and talk to so many, you almost forget what you're even saying. If you're working a booth, you're like, did I just say that? You start thinking the second day, did I just say what I just said? Or am I repeating myself? I don't remember. But it freaks you out. When it happened to me not too long ago, I was in Aetna and when I was picking up wood and guy comes in, you know, you do the casual, just like, hey, you know, people you don't know. He goes, how's that boat coming? And you're just like, going,
yeah.
Wait, what? Like, yeah. How do you know that? At first it freaks you out, but
well,
it's cool
though.
The
thing that freaks me out, and I hope everybody understands this. We meet every Friday, two of my great friends, every Monday to talk. Like we do. We're doing that now. And we share so much. And then we go ahead and we share again for 10 hours. Well, you knuckleheads do. Bourbon with the boys, or beers with the boys. And sometimes you forget what you say.
Yeah.
And what happens is someone will come up to me at a show and go, you know, Sedge, hey, how's your son doing? I was like, have I met you before?
You're
no,
like,
but
I
listen to your podcast all the time. I'm not a patron or anything, but I listen to your podcast. I can't get enough of it. And I'm like, I think about it. I go, boy, we do shit. Or they'll say, hey, how's Marianne doing? And I'm like, do I know you? And you know what? We put a lot out there.
Oh, we do.
And
we do.
And I was talking to Jason yesterday, Ronnie, and I was like, what he was doing on Bourbon of the Boys and sharing his YouTube metrics and stuff, I hope people understand that is pretty thoughtful of someone to do that.
Yeah. Yeah, that was good.
And Jason's very, he's open. Willing to teach people and share. He's open. And a lot of people are really guarded. And that's why I don't want to ever hurt people's feelings. Like, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But man, people bring me stuff every once in a while on a trade show. And I'm like, thank you.
Well, I regularly forget when we're on here that we're even recording anything. Regularly.
I
have to think about it. I'm like,
yeah,
maybe I shouldn't be.
Did I just say that?
I'm like,
yep.
No one's listening.
You know, I thought that about last week's episode when we were talking about, and I don't want to talk about it this week about corporate stuff, but I didn't share anything negative.
No,
the insights, even if we're not on a podcast, the insights that you guys give me, you know, and hopefully I give you some of that too.
Yeah.
Maybe not. But I mean, I can't wait for this week. I know we're going to Workbench Con, but I can't wait just
Is
to
that
hang
this week?
Out with you guys.
Is that this week?
Yeah. Now you start smelling like me full.
Coming up soon.
But I hope people understand there's not a lot of people like us that are willing to share our personal lives as well as our woodworking lives.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, and what we go through on a daily basis, like getting a new window installed.
Yeah. Yeah.
Too soon.
Look at that look.
Too soon.
Too soon.
I'm not trying to. I'm listening to every word you guys are saying. However, I did just get my tax return document and I'm trying to figure out where it says what I owe.
Oh, speaking of that, I saw something the other day. It was advice to young women. They said, look for a man who dreads tax season and does not look forward to it.
Yeah. Well,
that was
not
a lot of
point.
Wisdom.
Welcome
There's a
to
lot
my
of wisdom
world.
There. If you've got a guy that goes, I can't wait for tax season. I'm going to get a return. Returns are pretty much, when you're self-employed especially, you're not getting a return. You're not. But that's nope. Okay. That's okay. It's like, how much do I owe? That's what I'm, how much more do I owe after I paid quarterly?
Yeah. It's driving me nuts because I can't figure it out. I think I'm gonna email to see if she says while we're on the podcast. But going back to what you were saying, Sedge, about being open. So I've been criticized for that by some people. I don't want to say criticized, it's not the right word, but cautioned, people surprised that I'm so open about it. But for me, the way I look at it is, if people, we all know because we're doing it, right? But even though we're doing it, we see it, we have access to all these different things that are bringing money in. And, you know, granted, we've been doing this for a very long time, so it doesn't just happen overnight, but it's not believable. Most people don't, they can't fathom it. It's like, they don't think that it's truly real that people are making that kind of money. And I personally, I still feel that way when I talk to some other creators in this space that I know who are also open about it. When they talk about it, I'm like, I don't understand how that's real. And I'm in a position where, you know, people don't understand that it's real. You know what I mean? So it only just keeps getting bigger and bigger. I mean, when you want to talk about, I would love to see the metrics of somebody like Mr. Beast, right?
Oh yeah.
Oh, well, my God, yes.
He shares his, because he reinvested all. He shares.
I mean, you're talking, crazy. That guy's earning millions a month. Yes. A month. Millions.
And then he turns around and spends it. He spends everything he makes. It's crazy. But yeah, it's unreal. But that's one of the benefits of WorkbenchCon. It makes it real, what you were talking about. You're around all different types of levels, but you see that everybody's doing it and they're doing it at different levels. But each level is so much harder than people think, I think. I think people think that every level is more easily attainable than it is.
Right.
That is one thing that I will definitely say. It's a lot of work, takes a lot of time. It's a long game.
Mm-hmm.
So true. But it is good to share and let people know that it's a reality. But it's not as good as a lot of people think from far away either.
I mean, I just... It's changed my life in a very positive way. And if I can shed light on that and somebody else has the same experience that I had, I'm just as passionate about that as I am trying to help people with tool purchases or building something or learning mm-hmm. something. It's the same thing, right? That's another tool, in my opinion.
I think the biggest thing that I've learned is that I didn't realize completely. It was always like, oh, that'd be so cool. You realize at a certain point, once it starts seeming like it's worth it, you realize you've created another job for yourself.
Right.
You've created another job that you can do from your garage or your shop or your house, but it's a job that you're held to. You're held to standards when you're under contracts. You have SLAs, you have quotas, you have, it could turn into a more stressful job than your office job. Very easy. Mm-hmm.
Very, very easy.
So I've seen that more and more lately. So you got to be careful with it too, because it can be a stressful job and you're self-employed and you have no one else to blame but yourself. When things happen, you can't be, well, that was our so-and-so team. It was you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Marianne will even say it to me. I come home, I'm exhausted. And she goes, hey, that's you. No one else has created that but you.
Kelly's told me that before too. Yeah.
Yep.
She's like, this is a monster you've created yourself. And I was like, yep.
And I did it at work because Rick said, be careful what you wish for. Because I said many, many years ago, I just soon sit in front of a camera all day. And then a pandemic happened. And guess what? That's what happens.
Yep. That's what happens.
Yeah.
Speaking of that,
it's really beneficial.
What's the plan for Friday? For
Best of series.
Best of series. Okay. Cool. Yeah. Cool. We don't want to do it for a lobby.
Doing one live?
We should do it for a lobby. No. Just walk around. You'd be like, hi, yeah, I'm no, it's...
Hi. No.
Is there any festival around here?
Let's you just go interview people.
How long have you been at the Marriott? Somebody mentioned that. I go, listen, I'm on vacation.
Yeah. Yeah. You'll be stressing about getting a good connection, all that kind of stuff. It's not worth it.
Like I come and I'm going to do two more when I get back. And then I told Rick, I don't want to stress about, we're not doing one from JLC, which we didn't last year. Mm-hmm. But then I told him, I go, I'm on vacation after that. He goes, yeah, just do another best of series after that. And I go, I could come home. He looked at me and said, no. And I said, okay, I'm fine with that. So it's going to be nice. I'm going to have a nice break. And then it's, you know, like I always say, balls to the wall going forward, because we've got all kinds of launches happening. And, you know, okay, so I'll tell you something before I could talk about Fest Live just for a second. And sometimes it was like today in the marketing meeting, I was saying, we did a Fest 2 Live on the new guide rail starter set. And I go, I went like this. I went, right? And sometimes what I think might be boring, we had 5,700 views so far over the weekend.
Really?
Oh, wow. Wow.
And then the week before, I think it was even more boring. It was the Plain XM, because it's another drywall sander, which is fantastic, okay? And I get excited about everything Festool. We had 3,000 views. So there's no rhyme or reason. There's sometimes I just like taking the mundane and trying to make it fun. And somebody said at the meeting, they said, hey, I learned a lot in that video I didn't know already. And I've done tracks several times throughout the Festool Live. That was episode 169. But I don't know what it is or what triggers people. You know, but that's pure organic.
What triggers people to find certain things interesting?
Yeah, I don't know. Because we're a manufacturer, and manufacturers' YouTube channels suck. There's no revenue generated. The algorithm really doesn't pick it up. You got to do something really special for people to see stuff.
Yeah.
You know.
So that's why we went with Basics with Bent, and our sales have quadrupled. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not surprised. Yeah, only quadrupled. Yeah.
you know something I'm checking on right now? Getting the Festool product catalog printed out myself. I just don't like it on the screen. I don't like it. I can't absorb it flipping a PDF. And I started checking with printing companies. You can download the PDF online so I could get it printed out. And I think it's worth it. I think I'm going to do it.
Do what? Print it
get
off?
It printed. I want it printed out on paper. I use it all the time. And to bring it up online and flip through it,
yeah,
it's just not the same. It doesn't matter if you're on a laptop, a phone, or anything. It just, and the print is already so small that you end up zooming in, you lose your place on the screen. It's just not flip friendly. So I was checking about getting it printed out, and I think I'm gonna do that.
Do it.
Yeah,
can't,
I'm glad.
Where can you do that?
Well, I checked. Staples was outrageous. It was gonna be like, what was it? Like 25 cents a page, and it's like 300 pages, 300 or 400 pages. So it was like, oh, that was going to be really high. So I'm going to go to a different type of printing company. But if you have it download, they'll print out anything. So I'm just going to do that. But I think...
check your phone, Ronnie. I don't want to say anything on the podcast.
But I love that catalog. And just for everybody that knows, it is online. And I regularly bring it up because it is a wealth of knowledge. It's like a Bible. And where I learn the most is on the accessories part.
Yes.
Like if you bring up any tool and you look at the accessories, you're like, oh, okay, I could use that. Because you're not going to find that in your Woodcraft Rockler store. You're not going to find those accessories. You will at Hartfield Tool, I found out. Hartfield has everything. They're like, did you lose your Jibbity screw? We've got a whole aisle of Jibbity screws.
Hey,
this podcast
is not brought to you by Hartfield Tool. Although we all love it.
They didn't. The U.S. catalog didn't really have a ton of the accessories in it, correct? Like a few years back, wasn't a very light catalog. And then they started adding them again. Because when I went to Germany, this was a few years ago, I got one of their catalogs and it was like three times as thick. But it's because it had every single accessory that they make in it.
Well, the U.S. catalog probably smaller because it's less offered also, right?
Yeah, but not much.
There's no longer a print catalog around the world.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, around the world? It's not just Festool USA?
No. Oh, no.
I understand the thinking behind that. I do understand if I was on, because I'm sure those are extremely expensive to print out. And I think that a lot of people probably didn't rely on the way that I did. Like they would usually have a few at the stores where you buy, and then they would be there like most of the year sometimes, but I always grabbed one when I saw it for every year. But
So when I worked at International Tool, and we would get catalogs from manufacturers, no one would take the time to put them out in the showroom. And we had a catalog area there. This was way before Festool. And you would walk out back, and every year when the new catalog, you'd get 5, 6, 7 cases. You take the other 5, 6, 8, 10 and throw them away.
Yeah, that's...
You guys, Ronnie, you're a rarity. You use a catalog.
You know, that's how I learned a lot of my woodworking is I would learn from magazines and catalogs. Like I used to go through catalogs and it would say, this so-and-so hand plane used for this, or this power tool used for flushing up. It told me exactly what the tool was for. I was like, I need one of those because I need to be able to do that. That's how I taught myself. So I do have the habit of doing that. But also I think I get questions all the time from people because I post about Festool all the time and they'll ask me a question, and I could ask Sedge every time, but Sedge apparently is busy during the day. I don't want to bother. No, I it's
rude.
I should be able to look it up myself. I do ask Sedge every time I think that it's a really good question that I think there's no answer to. And he always fires right back and lets me know. I have like maybe once every 6 months, I ask him one. I had one just the other day that I haven't answered yet. They ask if the TSV saw, it was a good question. I'm going to look in a second. I'm going to ask you on the podcast. It was a good question. I did not know the answer to it. I knew that the track had to be different, but they asked something else about it.
No, track. The track has to be different because the splinter of the splinter guard. It's the same track, but you have, I always tell people, have a separate track for the TSV. Yeah. I learned something today from Eric Gabby because I told everybody on Festool Live that, oh, every saw comes with a limit stop. He comes in today. He goes, Sedge, I listened to Festool Live, and I totally agree, as well as probably everybody in this building. The TS60 and the TS60V do not come with a limit stop. See, okay. I learned something every day, too.
I got you. Yeah, I wouldn't know because I don't really use it, but that you're right because I know what's in there. I just saw the other day. It's just that one side screw-on when the green, the cover. Here's the question. It's from Ben Beatty. One day ago, he asked me on YouTube, great review on the TSV60KEB. He said, does this TSV60KEB, is it compatible with the FSK rail also? My thinking is
yes,
it is, but it's going to do the splinter guard, right?
Yeah.
It's going to, so you would probably also want a dedicated FSK rail, which maybe somebody would. I don't know. So
I would never put the TSV on the FSK rail. It's too big.
Because unless it was a really long rail, it would be really a point, would it? I can see it. Yeah. Well, it did throw me off because I was like, well, it should be because it's the same saw as the 60. It just has the extra front end on it. Okay, I'll respond back. I was going to ask you that first. That's what made me want to look it up. And
now you got me second guessing.
It should work. I think it would work, but it's going
to. Yeah, I think it's got the. I think it's got that T underneath. I just don't have one here to check.
Yeah, I keep thinking about
it. I'll be right back.
I'm out of the shop. Yeah, it'd be good to know. I think that's good. I mean,
yeah, no, I'm 99% sure that it has the second groove in there for the FSK rail.
I love that the 60 works on the FSK, and I've been using the 60 like 95% of the time since I got it. 95%.
That's weird because Jason and I yesterday were talking how he uses the TSC55 90% of the time, and he has a 60, and he just doesn't use it. And I see that, but guess what I reach for at the shop? And if I'm cutting, I'll bring a 60 home. So I got to tell you, I was cutting. Ronnie, you saw the top of my prototype 3/4 birch on top of that. And I made the cuts. Marianne had a redesign on it, which was awesome. So I went to a piece of cherry ply and cut it, banded it. Oh, my God. But I was worried about cross-cutting it. And I go, what an idiot. I have a TSV60 I can use any time. And I brought it home. And when I was doing the long rips with it, I realized that my 3000 rail was for the TS60. And the TSV is offset ever so slightly because of the two blades. So that's why I will always say, Hey, you're going to spend $1,000 on a TSR, a TSV. That is a very specific saw for a very small group. I say small group of people cutting melamine and high-end stuff all day long. Just get a separate rail system for it.
Yeah, and make it visible.
That's all, because that offset didn't march up with didn't match up with my my marks that I made, but it didn't matter because I had a little wiggle room in there.
I put a sticker on my rail to remind me not to use it. That didn't work.
No,
did not even cross my mind. I grabbed that rail again after I replaced the splitter guard. I did it again. So it needs to be something maybe fluorescent yellow. Put a vest on.
I did confirm.
Yes,
it does. Yeah,
it does. See, okay, cool.
That's a problem I have. Is all of a sudden I get a little I second guess myself, and well,
that's
every
what
time
I
second guess myself, my first answer is right. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it.
Well, I almost flew off with an answer on that one, and I thought, I better make sure before I say on that one. Yeah. I had never even thought of that possibility.
Yeah. So funny, because we were just talking about that yesterday.
Yeah, he told me that when you were going back. Yeah. I told him that I have the 60 set on my dedicated boom arm in the middle of my shop. So since I have gotten the 60, it's been my most used saw, because I just picked that one up and I'm cutting regularly, you know, a little bit thicker materials, and it's just nice. I just know it can do it. It's a little bit bigger and heavier, but not like the 75. So I really like the 60.
It's that thin curve blade.
Yes. Yes.
But boy, the cut with the TSV is because I had to save the outside, right? And sometimes the outside splinter guard on a 55 or even the 60 isn't perfect. But when it has to be perfect, that V is the cat's pajamas.
Like cutting the W, the workbench con W, I used that saw.
Yeah.
I did. Saves me work. I don't want to touch up the paint or anything on the front.
Nope. What did Garrett's takeaway from the original TSV Festool Live was? When it's not good enough, you need the TSV for perfection.
That kind of goes along.
When great is not good enough, you need perfect, I said. And that's what the TSV is. Holy moly.
That goes well with Cameron's slogan that he was using, a Hartfield tool, save money by Festool.
Hey, did you know? And I've talked about it, but with a TSV 60, you have to go slower.
Yes. You told me that before the first time I used it. I asked him about adjusting the blade. I had a question. He said, go slow. And right after he said that, like, I saw it after I adjusted the first time. And I was like, I've got a couple of places. And I got a message, go slow. I'm like, looking around, is Sitch in here?
Go slow.
How did he know? You do go a little slower than I go slower than I normally ever would, which it's a good idea. You go faster, you can chip any. My grandmother used to always say that. Chip anything out if you go fast enough.
Right. Your grandma used to chip a lot of melamine back in the day.
Yeah, she was running straight exhaust, and it's a long story.
Oh my God. That needs to be our new thing. Like, we have to work in Ronnie's grandmother every episode.
Oh, by the way, do you remember? Well, we had Jason Hibbs on here. I made the grandmother comment. I didn't include him in on the joke. So he was listening with all ears, thinking I was actually really talking about my grandmother.
Right.
So I just backed off. I didn't want him to be like the butt of the joke. So, but I was talking about it, and I think he thought I was serious on there.
In all fairness, Jason's not the smartest person in the world either.
Oh.
Did you watch
just
his
kidding?
Did you watch his cabin, his house renovation, the first video where he's going through and tearing everything out?
I haven't watched the one where he's tearing stuff out. I have watched the one of the house.
It's good enough that I actually pulled it up while Kelly was sitting there, and she watched the whole thing with me. And that never happens. Like, she would usually exit stage left. It was actually, I think, part of her being a realtor, but it was actually very entertaining the way he does it.
You have not given her the privilege of watching my videos.
I don't think I have. Usually any kind of things, if the tool ones, they come up. Well, the way he starts out where he's knocking that wall out, the divider wall and the cathedral wall, and you're sitting there wondering, is this a load-bearing wall? And it's like, there's some mysteries in the house that you couldn't make up that make you as a viewer go, what?
Yeah.
And it's just weird. Things that
very
just
weird.
Don't make sense. And so he solves a lot of the mysteries on that video. But I ended up watching, that was one of those videos where I thought I was just going to watch, kind of get an update. Ended up watching like the whole thing. I think it's like 35 minutes long, something like that. I watch the whole
Marianne,
thing.
Marianne and I watch Jason's final flooring video every week.
Every week.
Yeah. Should we watch it from beginning to end? And then, boy, we're out for the night.
And you watch all the ads.
It's a really good way to go to sleep. Yeah.
Oh, that's funny. That's funny.
Oh, you guys want to hear something funny. So Leo now, I don't know if you guys saw my stories. He wants to be just like his daddy and record a podcast. So he will come sit at my computer, and I have one, you know, one of the uplift that, you know, raise up and down. Well, when this one's lowered all the way down, it's like a perfect desk for him, right? And he will like get my microphone and he will sit at the computer and he will act like he's talking as a podcast. So yesterday he was like, "Daddy, I want to do the podcast, but you need to get out." And I was like, "Okay, do you want to see the video?" And he said, "Yeah." So I turned on like the QuickTime media player and like started it.
Uh-huh.
So I have two videos on my desktop right now of Leo sitting at the computer.
Oh, yeah, I'll tell you what.
Podcast, getting angry.
You've got to save those. I bring up, yes. Madison has a newscast video that she has, and I bring it up regularly when she was very young, and she's like, "Oh, I can't believe you saved that. It's awesome. Keep it."
Yeah. Keep Nicole it. And I were watching it this morning.
That's funny. Good times.
Oh, no.
What?
Hold on.
We lost a patron.
It says on the first sheet in the documents I sent you that your federal form 1120S and show a no balance due. There's no way. I don't know. I think she's confused. If I don't owe any money in taxes this year, oh man.
Sometimes it happens.
I'm getting a new watch.
But no, sometimes it happens. But the thing is, you paid quarterly, right? Like,
I don't.
Oh, you don't? Well, I
no. So I'm a single member LLC. However, this year we filed. That's a sole proprietorship.
Uh-huh.
This year, my CPA was like, "Look, we need to file an S election, and then you need to take a salary." And so that's what I do. That's what we did.
Yeah, that's what I do. I did that actually the first year. File as an S corp, and pay myself a salary. I think it's a good way to go.
I probably could have done it last year, but the last 2 years, he was like, with your expenses and everything, you're just not quite at the point where it would actually really benefit you. It's better for you to stay a sole prop.
Cost you more to process it. Yeah.
Right. But then 2023 was, you know, I doubled from the year before that. So then he was like, "Yeah, we absolutely have to do it this year."
Yeah, that's good.
I'm learning more and more about that stuff every day, but they send me these documents. You know how tax forms are. The more complex it gets, it's not like back in the day when I used to just go on, TurboTax or H&R Block, and it's me giving my one W-2 from the military and I have nothing else. Yep. It's so confusing now. Like when I read this, it's foreign to me. I'm like, this makes no sense.
We put everything together. Kelly does her real estate thing and the rental houses, and I do mine, and we put all three together, like into different folders, and we just take it every year and we set it down and we just kind of walk away with just like no clue what's going to happen. We don't know what they're going to be like. Give me more money. How much more money is usually what it is.
Yeah, that's how it is with us.
Yeah, when I was before that, I mean, I used to do them myself. It's funny. I used to get TurboTax and I would do my taxes and I would still pay my CPA to do it because I was so curious how good is this new software? How accurate is it? And I thought it was worth it going through the activity of doing it. And it would be within $20-$30 of the same thing that my CPA said. But I just never really trusted doing it.
Well, you also have, I've never done my taxes with any businesses because you have that person that goes to the audit with you if you're auditing.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Oh.
What?
I just can't imagine. They say everybody gets audited once in their life on average.
Don't even say it, Ronnie.
They say it.
Don't even say it. You know how terrified I am that day is going to come?
I mean, you know what? I feel like I do everything by the book, but you still would have to do a lot of legwork. That's what I wouldn't like. You'd have to find this and find that and find that. That's what scares me the most. Mm-hmm. It wouldn't be something like you're going to jail, but it would be like, okay, what is this right here? And if it was more than 2 years ago, I'd be like, gosh, I don't remember. I don't know. That would be hard, but Just got to, I guess that's why it's just important to try to keep things as straight as possible.
Yes.
Like you said, and we've had a CPA do them every year and work with us, and they just tell us what we need to do. I'm listening to him.
She told me where it is, and I'm looking at it right now, and I still have no idea what I'm looking at.
We just Holy put cow. Those things in a folder and send them to them and let them do it. They're like, we'll take care of it. We'll take care.
Yeah, Nicole's been really, really good about that. She started to dabble with the QuickBooks stuff, but my CPA, another thing, I've been on the phone, you know, back and forth with them, you know, multiple times. Obviously, this is the season, right, where you're doing all that stuff. But she told me I was using QuickBooks Self-Employed, and I've used that for probably the last 4 or 5 years. And she's like, you really need to upgrade. And she's like, if I was you, I would upgrade to the QuickBooks accounting software. It's a lot more expensive. It's like $60 a month. But holy cow, it's way more detailed, way more detailed. And now she's going in there and like, she's keeping an eye on my stuff, which I, you know, haven't hired them to do that. But since they're doing my taxes, she like goes in and makes rules on things. She's like clarifying stuff. It's fantastic. Two of the best things I ever did. And I know we've talked about this before. I feel like we probably talk about it every year when tax times comes around. CPA and an accounting software.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because I think back in the day, if you guys were like me, at least before you had any accounting software, what did you do?
Yeah, did a lot of paper pushing around.
Paper pushing and tracking it on your own Excel spreadsheets.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
That's what I used to do. I used to make all these formulas and do all this shit and spend all this time going in there and typing everything in individually. Then I got QuickBooks 1 year and in 30 minutes, maybe, I had my entire year categorized, and it was way better than any Excel spreadsheet I would have ever done.
The only thing I'll say about QuickBooks is they love to get money from you. They want to put money. They're like, hey, well, guess what? This is this much more a month. Get this. They went to the monthly side and it's better. But for anyone who's starting in the business, I strongly suggest people look for other options, because accountants are
early
always
on,
push. Accountants are always going to push QuickBooks because it's what they know. And they really care less about what you have to spend. And they're like, hey, use QuickBooks. But there's other options that do a lot that are a lot cheaper. And it's just, it's an unnecessary expense, I think, for somebody going into it. Because in reality, a lot of people, all you're wanting to do is record what you earned and what you spent. That's it. And where are you at the end of the year? And what's outstanding? And invoicing. It's very important to be able to do invoicing in your accounting software. I think that's, and then being able to receive it in there and have a flow. Because we were talking about flows just like, what, 2 weeks ago, we were talking about our process flows. Our accounting software is our process flow. It's where we won't forget about an invoice that's outstanding and that kind of thing. But QuickBooks was, I mean, then they want you to add payroll. Like if you add payroll, it's like another cost, and it's another cost and another cost. And I know they're a business, but it's like there's a certain point where when you're a smaller size business, it's like you could be spending as much on QuickBooks a month as you're spending somebody to come into your house and do it, you know?
Yep.
That's I mean, the one caution. I'm paying now, it was $10 a month, I think, but now I'm paying 60.
Yeah, it goes up
and then
fast.
And then when you when you're filing under an S corp, and you obviously have to have a payroll, that's a monthly expense you have to pay too. That's $40 a month. So that's $100 right there that I'm paying, plus Zoom, plus, you know, all these other things.
So I use
that doesn't make a lot of sense in the beginning, you know.
I use FreshBooks, which is a Canadian based company, and it was created to compete with QuickBooks. And I'd say its biggest downfall compared to QuickBooks is you can't get as granular.
Is it Canadian?
Well, and you can't get as granular with the detail. But here's the thing. I never am going to get granular with the detail. It's hard enough for me just to track an invoice. I received the payment. This is what I did. I don't want to go any farther than that anyway. So I'm glad that I'm not spending the extra on QuickBooks, because I can't do that anyway. So that's my thinking on it. There's other people, though, that want to know every single detail down to everything. That's when you need to look towards a QuickBooks side. And I'm sure there's things other than FreshBooks and QuickBooks. The last time I looked was maybe like 8 or 9 years ago. I'm sure there's even free versions out there, apps that you can use for until you outgrow them. That's kind of one other thing. I don't think we ever talked about this, but I feel like one of the most common things that is a mistake when people jump into the trades, they get into too many things. They jump into QuickBooks, they jump into this, they jump into that, and they have all these monthlies and they're not even making that much money. It's like, do it manually for a while first until it's, and then then you know what you need. And that's something
you know what?
I didn't
do. Just like tools, Ronnie. That's just like tools.
That's
you know
true.
Why?
That's
you know,
true.
Do the spreadsheets. See what that's like, because you'll never
that's
truly
true.
appreciate what the software does until
yes.
you switch to it and
exactly.
you realize it's like going from a DeWalt sander to a, you know, Festool.
Or I did payroll myself for a while, and I had, when I had two guys, and after doing that, I don't mind paying for payroll at all because I saw what it entails. And it hurts your brain. It's all these rules, all these things you're supposed to know, classification codes, all this stuff, pay someone to do the payroll for sure. But I thought first, ooh, I'll save money and do it myself. No, especially when they ask for a form, like what you just got a minute ago, when you're doing payroll, they ask for forms all the time. They're like, you haven't submitted your blah, blah, blah form. I'm like, I don't know what that is. So that's one. It does help when you do it yourself. You appreciate it. But
speaking of forms, I filled out that, that beneficial one this weekend. It takes like 10 minutes.
Is that demographic stuff?
Oh, yeah, that's the one for that we have to do before the 24th, right?
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
2024
or
5.
I just sent it to my bookkeeper. She's cool. But she's the one that alerted me, which is always good because, you know, I'm not, I don't keep up on that stuff.
Guys, I think I found it. I see right here it says tax due. Zero. That can't, there's no way. There's no way. Yeah. Now, state taxes? That's a whole nother story. You know, funny, Sed, did I ever tell you like 3 years ago, the rude awakening that I had? 3 years ago, my taxes changed the way that I went about money moving forward, right? Because the way I always looked at it, stupid me, I don't know why I ever did this in the first place. When you're doing a business that is based in social media and you're not being taxed on anything that you make, right? Everything that's coming, or even Ronnie, everything that's coming in, it's not taxed because there is no employer, right? They're sending you the stuff. They send you the documents that they need there, so they don't have to pay taxes on it. Sometimes you forget about that, right? And you just you see the money coming, coming in. And what I wasn't doing is I wasn't
putting the money aside.
I wasn't like going, okay, what was my, after all my expenses, what was my gross revenue, right? That's right. Gross after expenses or net. That's net. So what's my net income, right? After deductible expenses, take 30% of that and put that into a separate account, a tax account. Well, I wasn't doing that. So 2 years ago when I got my taxes and they're like, yeah, you owed, you know, $20,000 or whatever it was. I was like, excuse me. I had the money in the account obviously to cover it, but that money was there the whole time. And I just kept seeing it. Oh, there it is. There it is. I have this money. And then the tax man said, no, you don't, because you just never got taxed while you were getting paid. So now we want it.
That's a big danger for realtors because they make, some of them make really good money all year round. Kelly used to talk about people all the time that they would share with her. They're like, oh my gosh, I don't know what I'm going to do because, you know, they have a really good year, but they didn't account for it and didn't think about towards the end of the year that they're having to pay, you know, like 30% on that money. And it's a lot. So that she always pays quarterly estimated. She just makes estimated payments based on what her last year was. And then she's always hoping that she paid enough. So she finds out at the end of the year if she paid enough in or she has to pay more. And generally she has to pay more. She goes on the low guess, so she's not overpaying. Because you don't really want to overpay. You're just giving the government a loan. Which anyone getting a return back, you just gave the government a loan. Don't be excited. But I started learning that when I was in corporate world and I started raising my dependents more than I actually had because I was trying to make it even out where I wouldn't get a return. You know, where I was not paying out as much. And that works. That's a way to kind of play the system a little bit.
Yep. I don't.
We did that. We did that until the business started earning regular income. Like it worked for us for like 3 years in a row. It was basically free. You know, like we didn't owe anything. We didn't have to pay anything. But then that first year that the business like actually kind of turned a little bit of a profit, I was like, oh, this is a rude awakening. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think it's a good thing to keep in mind too, for first 3, 4, 5 years, you almost should have a goal to not be paying. And if you have money at the end of the year, you should be investing back in your business, giving yourself a disbursement, but like building the business that way instead of paying taxes on it. Because the government doesn't care. They just want you to spend money.
Mm-hmm.
As long as you're spending the money, you're either going to pay them or pay. So that's what I still do that way. I try to make sure that I invest back in whatever and try to zero myself out.
We should make clear before we continue talking about this that we are not tax professionals.
Yes, we are. We're professionals.
And we are not trying to give you guys tax advice. We're just sharing things that we have learned. But
yeah.
I can't think
of anything more boring to talk about than taxes.
But it is tax time for anyone who's that. I mean, I just finished mine where I don't think about it anymore. After they tell us how much we owe, I'm done for the year. And I just try to avoid the even thinking about it. It's just something we have to do every year. So I know
that angst that everybody has about taxes. You know, I've already started to lose sleep on it, you know, because I'm thinking about it, but I don't have a chance until mid-March to actually start thinking about it. Because
I mean,
all
it's
the
definitely not a
stuff
sexy,
I have to do.
It's not a sexy topic, I'll agree, but it's a very real thing for all of us and probably a lot of our listeners that are all kind of in the same boat right now. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, our deadline was
we're all thinking about
ours. We had to get ours to our CPA last Friday was our deadline.
Yeah.
Yep, fun stuff. But, you know, I would like to kind of open up some questions. I would be interested in hearing some people since they're at the end of the year and they're looking at their figures, like what people spend on fuel costs that are like in the business or driving, doing their wood things or contractors. And I'd be interested to see that. So I'm sure some people are all over the board. You know, some people drive a lot more than others. And mine was $7,009 is how much I spent on Sprinter gas last year.
Wow.
7,000, which is, and I don't drive a ton. I think I dropped maybe like 15,000 miles is what I average end up being. But I'm just curious. I'm sure there's some of our listeners are like, I spent 15,000. You know, I'm just curious
right. What
that is. It's interesting at the end of the year to see what your categories are. I do always find that interesting to see, which, and if someone's as granular in QuickBooks throughout the year and on top of it, they can see it at any time by pushing a button. But I'm not.
Yeah. Well, we're not all perfect.
Yes. So that's but that's interesting to see that. My big takeaway this year was insurance. I want to requote out my business insurance because it's standing out. Taxes and insurance are my two biggest expenses that stand out to me. And it's time. I do it on personal. I requote out like every 5 years because it just seems like you get a huge savings. Because they just start, the longer you're with a company, it seems like the more they hate you. They just keep raising it up higher and higher.
So when you say insurance is for your business,
this would be the shop, van, tools, the workers' comp I have to have it myself. All of those, it's all encapsulated in one company that does just like my business side. It's aside from our personal stuff.
Oh, okay.
And it's going up every year. And it's now, when you look at it as a whole year, it's dramatically, high. It's like 10,000 a year is what I pay.
So you have to carry, but on your personal, which is also all your rental properties, you have to carry homeowners on all those properties.
Every single one of them.
Holy shnikey.
Yes, that's a lot. And that's not even including what I'm talking about. This is the business and van and shop insurance, tools.
Wow.
And me. That's its own, even a separate company. But then, then we have the rental houses and our personal stuff. That's all in the same company. But yeah, the insurance has really increased since all the property values have been going up, you know, across the country. It's made the insurance and the taxes have, you know, doubled, you know, in just the last few years.
Wow.
So it's really been an eye opener too.
So the insurance side of things has always, it's been very challenging for me. This came up in our Discord actually. I was told the other day, so as a matter of fact, this all got spurred by my CPA. My CPA was like, what did you pay on business insurance? And I'm like, I don't have business insurance. And she's like, what do you mean you don't have business insurance? I'm like, I don't have it. Like I have run a YouTube channel. I don't build furniture for people. I don't go on site. I don't do any of that stuff. However, in the over the past 3 years, I have never been able to get a straight answer from USAA, which is who I have. And my understanding or my thought process would be all of these tools are mine in my home shop. If something was to happen, it would be covered because I pay for insurance on my property and I, you know, pay for $100,000+ worth of coverage on my personal belongings. And those are my personal belongings. And I've had some people there tell me, well, no, if they're used for business use, like there would be a problem if you had a fire and it was for, because you were using tools for the business, it would be an issue. And this last time I like started to really get angry because the guy, first of all, the guy that I was talking to, it was very difficult to understand him. You know, there being a language barrier there, which usually never happens with USA, but this time he was very nice. It was just difficult, like for us to have a really good conversation. But finally, I think he started to get where I was going. And I said, look, you're saying it's not covered. I'm telling you that I do not build things and sell physical products, nor do I have clients come to my house. I have a business because I'm documenting what I'm doing with my property. I have to have the business registered for tax purposes. So you're telling me that if I was building something and filming it because I put it on YouTube and something caught on fire and it burned my house down, it wouldn't be covered. But if I said, oh no, I was building a dog feeder for my dogs, it was for personal use, that I would be covered. And so there's this weird gray area. So he like had to get off the phone and like go talk to a supervisor. And he came back and he said, I'm telling you, in your situation, you are covered. Once you step outside of that and you start building things for customers, that's where it would end. But I'm like,
I still don't understand it. They're clueless.
Yeah, it's such a small amount of people. They haven't even probably thought about all the variables. When I had the room in the basement, the walkout side of our house, I explained what I did. They told me because I'm building things for customers, I did need to have a policy. So I had a policy where my house, the part of our house was considered business section insurance, and all of those tools went with me in the van. They were covered. They were covered at the job site, and I was covered for all the things you could be insured coverage thing, all those lingo things we don't understand. And then when I left the house and went to the shop, it kind of went that way. So it was more understandable when I have a dedicated shop. Insurance is more understandable then, but it's confusing when it's at your house. And I think they're confused as well. But I would totally think that Jason would be covered by doing what he's doing. There's no reason to complicate that.
Yeah, but here's what happens. The house burns or whatever your shop burns, they'll find a way not to pay it.
Well, it's not like there's a video about it or anything.
I know, but they'll find a way not to pay it.
They'll be checking it out as videos. Oh, we see
you've ever lived wrong. If you've ever lived through a hurricane in Fort Lauderdale, those guys do not like to pay.
Period. Oh, I know. Yeah.
And I've seen so many families just broken apart because of they paid all these years, all this insurance, and as soon as a hurricane hit, certain companies filed bankruptcy. Yeah. Hurricane Andrew was like that. And it's like, why are you doing that? And then what happens is they start up again somewhere else in the country and they're big again.
Yeah, I understand a lot of houses in Florida now, they don't have insurance because they can't afford it. And they're paid for, no one's going to make you do it, but it just doesn't make sense. It's so high. They just opt for not having insurance. It's really, really sad.
Yeah, I have to switch my homeowners this year, I think.
It's a company.
These guys, I have legitimate claims or whatever, and they just, it's not what you really think it is. So I point up on the roof. I go, really? What's that shingle up there flapping? Oh, he must have missed that.
Well, I left mine. I'm on a 5-year cycle. I left. It was a friend, and I said, I'm going to probably break up with you in 5 years. Don't be upset. I said, I do it every time when it gets out of hand, and I get a big discount. I actually went another 5 years. They started doing it to me on the new insurance company. Mm-hmm. I went back to the company I was with. And I said, if I came back to you, could you requote me? He's like, sure, we can. It was cheaper than what it was when I left 5 years ago.
Isn't that crazy?
They do not reward you for staying with an insurance company.
No,
that is a fact. We're also not insurance experts, but I will tell you in my whatever years of having insurance, every time I've left, I've saved money. And that was the first time I saw you can go back to the company that you left and they will give you a discount, which that annoys me to no end. They should be rewarding customers, right, but they don't.
Here's one thing. Increase. I had a very opposite experience with USAA. So when I was at Fort Benning, I switched from USAA because a guy in my bass club was like a progressive guy. He was like, just, you know, let us give you a quote. And so I did. And then it was cheaper. But then when I went and like looked at the coverages and compared it to USAA, because one thing I will say about USAA is they have really, really freaking good insurance. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I don't like this. Of course it's cheaper, right? You're paying for less coverage and less other benefits. So I said, don't worry about it. I'm going to go back to USAA. Well, I called USAA and I said, I want to come back. And they're like, okay, sir, here's your quote. I'm like, that's more than what I was paying. They're like, yeah, it is, because the insurance has gone up since then. If you stay a customer, when the insurance increases, you don't see as big of an increase as people who are not a customer. This is how USAA does it. It's mm-hmm. spaced out over time. So you will see an increase, but you won't see as significant of an increase as somebody coming in off the street because you've been a customer. So they don't want these huge hikes. And I was like, you have got to be kidding me. Like, by leaving you for 6 months.
That's a good story.
Yeah.
Ephesus story.
Yeah. I think if you look on a cycle on year four, and year four is when they start going, haha, we got them now. Watch this. Yeah. We're going to turn this up. Sucker. And Kelly has to spend a lot of time figuring out what the increase was, because the way they do it, they don't show you. They just say, here's your bill. And you're like going, well, what did I pay last year? You have to actually go find it and look and see what you paid mm-hmm. last year. And then when we have all different house policies and all the rentals, that little bit that they raise you up, when you do that times however many houses it's a significant increase. Like a 10% increase is huge when you have 12 houses that you're insuring. It's a big deal. So we feel it a lot more than what, you know, I think other people would. So we're more conscious of it. But yeah, it's a good time to requote. I've never requoted my business insurance. It's always been with the same person. And I think it's time. It just stood out to me when I looked at my expenses. Insurance, gas, you can't do anything about that. Fuel, you can't do anything about. But insurance, you can. And that's one that I saw that I could probably trim a little bit.
Well, here's something that I like to throw out there to our listeners. And this is one reason I love doing podcasts, because we have listeners who are in all kinds of different fields. If you are in the field of business insurance or you have any insight on this, I would love to connect with you, because even though USAA told me, because I have a lot to worry about with having a YouTube channel, right? Sedge, so do you. And Ronnie, so do you. Apparently, you know, people can sue you for anything in this country, anything, right? Does it mean they're going to win? No, but they can sue you for whatever they want. I do want to find out, or I do want to get business insurance, because I just don't feel confident that after being told for 3 years, no, you need business insurance, to being told after a very long, confusing conversation and them annotating it in my file, that if that ever happens, you'll be covered. I don't trust that.
Yeah, and I do think like somebody who knows much more than us could definitely advise you, but I'll tell you my own findings on it is my insurance agent, who's been an agent for like 30 years, told me, as long as you can keep your insurance on the personal side, do it, because you're going to pay more for business insurance and you're going to have less coverage. And that's true with anything business, you know, Dropbox, anything online. If you do anything, it's never a good deal to be on the business side. So like our rental houses are all personal policies, every one of them. And I asked him once about business. And I was like, what about liability? Is it better to be? He said, you're covered with your umbrella policy, and every house has higher levels of coverage on if you were sued for like a sidewalk slip than a business policy would ever do. He's like, stay on personal until they cut you off. And he said that companies will cut you off like five houses. you can't have more than five houses on a personal policy with a lot of insurance companies. But until they say something to you, he said, let it ride. So we actually were going to put it all under a business and decided against it. But everybody's situation is different. I'm just throwing that out there that it is, there is advantages if you're covered under personal to stay on personal and don't jump on the business bandwagon. The same as it drives me crazy that I had the Powermatic 66 saw that I bought in 2004. And then once I started my business, I claimed it as a tool. And then all of a sudden I'm paying taxes on it every year. And it was a tool that I bought before I was in business because they ask about equipment and they're depreciating that saw out. And it's like, I would have rather just not even claimed that because I'm paying taxes on a saw I bought 12 years before I started my business. So interesting. And I will say, I don't like this either. And like you said, Sedge, it's boring stuff. But what's sad fact is
it's
when
a reality for everybody,
when you start doing your own business, you quickly see that, oh, I've got to be a semi tax expert or pay someone to do it. But you still need to understand a little bit about it.
Yes.
And what's hard is people who are woodworkers or in the trades, that's the last thing they want to do. They were trying to get away from the office job. And here you are right back in it. So it's a reality that I don't like, but my advice is if you don't like it, Kelly loves numbers. My wife, she does a lot of it. And we have a CPA and I try to do as very little as possible.
It's just like anything else. You know, you don't want to do it, hire it out and get it off your plate. You're just going to pay for it. Right.
Yes.
So that this goes back to why I registered my business 5 years out from retiring from the Army, because while I am not a tax expert, I learn a bunch of stuff every year. I don't know jack about insurance, but I learn a little bit every year, right? Is because when I stepped away from the Army, I wanted to have an understanding good enough for me to continue to run my business and not have to, you know, stress about it so much, as opposed to I'm retired, now what? And then getting slapped in the face with like, oh, I have to put money aside for taxes. And, you know, it's like anything else.
Yeah, it is. Cameron and I regularly have conversations regarding all these subjects, and I'm just so glad that he has an understanding of it, because a lot of it I didn't have an understanding of until I was out of my 9-to-5 job and just hitting it. And I just never realized some things. And it angers me that they don't teach it in school. It really does.
Yep.
It is so important and it is not taught in school at all. And it's barely even taught in colleges.
I was just going to say, in business courses, they don't talk about this shit.
Mm-mm. My daughter's
and
majoring.
It's just what's called hard knocks. You got to get out there and do it, figure it out, get screwed a few times by insurance people.
Yeah.
Get screwed. Yep. And then all of a sudden, talk about it amongst other like tradesmen and going, oh, but you got to find the right CPA, the right
bookkeeper. You know what? On that note, that's the best tip I could give. If you're find people who seem to be thriving in whatever industry, HVAC person, somebody you know who owns a business, ask them who they use for a CPA. That will get you 1,000 miles ahead of everybody else. Yes. They know who to use. And it's funny when you start asking, they all kind of, you start hearing the same two or three names. The same people use the same person. That tells me a lot. I found that
out
quickly.
I asked one person who's very successful in what he does, and he pointed me to the right CPA and her daughter as well.
Yeah, that's important.
Very I don't important. Really have to dick with much. I just walk in and they get it all taken care of for me.
That's good. It's good stuff.
I mean, I'm not making a ton of money in Sedge Tool, but they also handle Marianne and I both, because Marianne works at Lowe's and I work at Festool, and we combine everything together because I'm a sole proprietor, LLC.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, but when I start banging the big bucks like you boys, then I'll have to. I was going to open up a S Corp right away, and she said, no, sole proprietorship, LLC.
Yeah, I didn't do it right away.
That'll come when you start to make some money.
Yeah. It starts saving you money. It adds over $1,000 to your yearly tax preparation costs because they have more they have to do with it. But it's worth it once you have enough going through it. It's worth it. You save on taxes.
One of the things I wasn't going to do, Ronnie, was take all my personal machinery and put it into the business. That wasn't happening.
No, don't
And I'm
do
not
that.
going to. That'll never, I'll
I
never
did
pay tax on what I own.
Well, they asked me what the stationary equipment, and I just rattled that off at the time. And that's where we're talking about learning. I didn't know. And all of a sudden, we get a tax bill a year later where they're appreciating it out and giving me a tax credit. I was like, I didn't want to include that on that. What? Oh, and that makes you have to have insurance on it too. Like once you're claiming it, it has to be insured. It goes down a slippery slope. But I do not see, Jason, how you would not be covered under it's personal stuff you're doing for you. And most of the projects are even in your house for yourself. So I don't see
I mean,
how
all
you
of the
would need it.
projects, really,
Yeah, I don't see why. It is all.
but they'll be like, you have a business? Yes. What's your business?
But
I make
it makes
woodworking
me
content on
wonder.
YouTube.
It makes me wonder about
Using your tools
Michelle
to do that?
Dragonfly, Patrick and Michelle. Do you think that she has a little area in her basement insured? I wonder.
I don't know. I don't know if they have business
They
insurance.
would. That would
We're
be
gonna
a.
see them next. Well, we're gonna see them in a few days at WorkbenchCon.
Yes,
Yeah, and
that
ask
would
them
be a
there.
good one. Yeah, let's talk. Are y'all ready for Workbench Con?
I'm ready. I did want to.
Well,
I did
that's a good
want to.
segue, Fulton.
Yeah, but hold on. Before we do that, I wanted to let you guys know that I had a very real, harsh reality today.
Uh-oh.
Workbench cons this week.
No, I'm looking
Is
forward
that
to
this
that.
week?
My liver is, I think, ready for it.
Okay. You got tested.
Retired life is really hard. Like really hard. Like I had to go outside today in 70-degree weather and play golf. And it was rough. It was a little windy, right? I
Too
think I
windy
got a
for
little bit too much sun.
what you like.
Yeah, and I mean a Monday playing golf with a former NBA superstar,
Did the
you know?
wind stress you out a little bit?
It did. It did. Brandon Rush, he's my golfing buddy. I'm
Okay.
not into basketball, but if anybody likes the Warriors or K-State, my buddy Ryan introduced me to him and I went golfing with him today. It was great.
You take
Retirement
naps
is
on your golf cart?
so awesome. I freaking love life right now. It's just great to just be able to go and just play golf on Monday and not have a care in the world. It's awesome. It is so awesome. Sorry, I just wanted to throw that out there.
No, that's a
Don't worry,
good one.
guys. When you get to be my age, right, you'll understand what it's like.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm thinking. I need to go back 10 years.
Yeah.
No,
It was great.
it's good.
Anyways,
It's good that you do that because it's very easy for you to go to 7 days a week working, even with what you're doing
I
right
don't
now.
want it. Yeah, I
I
don't
know,
want to
but it's
do it.
very easy to do it. So you need to remember to do that and don't feel guilty about it. Kelly and I still struggle with that. There's days where we could get away with, we could just not do a lot, but we constantly are on our, we just feel like if we don't, it just,
You're throwing money out the window. If you
yeah,
feel like if you
it's,
don't, you're throwing money away.
we almost every day she goes, what are you working on today? And I'm like, I think I'm just going to relax. And we always just laugh because she knows I'm not telling the truth. I've got
Right.
something to do. There's always something that I have to do, but I always like, I think I'm going to relax. No,
It
but
gets hard for me. It gets hard for me. Like Sedge knows how excited I am about the warm weather, just because I love having get-togethers when the weather is nice, sitting outside, drinking beer, cooking, meat, and just enjoying the outdoors. Like I love it. I especially love it in Indiana because you actually have the seasons here. So you go all winter long and you don't have it. So it doesn't get old. You're always looking forward to it. And I just can't wait. And today was just this unbelievably nice, unseasonably warm, beautiful day. It was wonderful. It was
You know what,
great.
Mike? I had it rough today. I had to go in and play with tools all day and
That sucks.
work with a couple prototypes, and it's just a drag.
Yeah, real bummer.
You know what? The prototypes got my bright brain going. I don't even remember what I was going to say because I started thinking about what is it? Is it a hoverboard sustainer that you can ride on? Is
Yeah.
that what it is?
Oh,
You
God.
did bring up if we're excited for WorkbenchCon.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
About now I'm just thinking about prototypes. Okay, let's go on.
I'm excited to go down to Atlanta, get in a hotel room, and just sleep the whole time.
Yeah, we'll call you and text you and say, you doing all right?
I'm doing okay. Just taking a power nap.
I'll be honest. I don't have any intentions on attending anything before noon on any of the days that I'm there, because I know we're going to be up late. And when I get up, I want to go work out in the gym in the hotel. I want to take my time and then go down, because it's all about the afternoon and evening. It really is.
You don't want to task
yourself. I'm not
going to
stress about it. I'm just going to enjoy our time there.
Yes.
You know what? I think this year I am going to walk away during the day and take a nap.
You know what?
I'm just going to chill. I'm just going to chill. I mean, because the best time for me is between 3 and 10 o'clock.
You know what?
We grab some grub together and, you know, have a few beers, and I'll still get to bed early. It's like, I can't believe you guys were up to like 5 o'clock on beers with the boy, bourbon with the boys.
Well, I went up.
That was a long one. That's the longest I've stayed on in a long time.
I went up to get my charger at 10:30 because my laptop was saying it was low, and Kelly was like, "I'm going to go to bed," and I was like, "Okay." And once she did that, I'm like, "Okay, I'm not accountable to anyone right now." So I just came back down, and I was like, "We were still having great conversations." I think Jason was on there to like what, 1, 2.
2:30.
Seth was on to like past midnight, right? He was training.
No, I was on
10:30, 11.
10:30.
I thought it was later than that. But I thought you were training for Workbench Con. You were trying to push the limits there.
Because
you're Sedge, yeah, but
Sedge at Workbench Con, you're always done by about 10, if I remember.
Always. Yeah. Last year, boy, I pushed it. I was up till 1 o'clock.
I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I do remember one night.
Chris and I were dancing on the dance floor.
Yes.
I was slapping his ass.
Yeah. That's, yeah. So Cameron's idea this year is to see, he has reminders on his phone to remind him to eat, because he always gets in the situation where he has to eat like every 2 to 3 hours, or he gets lightheaded because he just burns so many calories just running around in circles.
Nice.
Yeah, and he starts feeling sick, and we figured out that it's because he's not eating like he normally does. He usually eats like constantly. So he's got a little new plan that he's going to make sure he remembers to eat. It's funny. That just shows you the environment there of how you're having so much fun or talking or whatever, you can forget to eat, which is crazy.
I mentally have a thing in my head like, you know what? I'm going to not push it this year. And if I excuse myself for an hour or two just to get away from
the noise,
all the talk, and just go to the room, close my eyes for a few minutes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to do it.
Yep.
I mean, I mean, you guys stay up late on Saturday night. I got to wake up early to get in the car because I got to drive home.
Me too.
On Sunday.
Me too.
Last year, I remember that Saturday night I was up. I was up late that night. That lobby was a freaking disaster.
I was so tired up to Saturday. That was the earliest we turned in Saturday night. I didn't even make it, I don't think, past 10 range. I was done. I was just tired.
Yep. We came in from dinner, and you guys said, "Hey," and I went, "Bye."
Yeah, I remember that. I'm like, there goes the smart one.
I just can't. I don't know. I just know my limits, I guess.
Yeah. It's hard, especially when you start out on like Wednesday, you're Thursday, Friday. By Saturday, you're four days in a row, a marathon of just, what is it? What are the days are like 12, 14-hour days, you know, every day of just having fun and hanging out. But fourth day, I start feeling it.
And then, and I don't want to just walk somewhere and someone says, "Hey, Sedge," and I don't want to say, yeah, hang on.
Yeah,
I stop and I talk to him, and then you're trying to get somewhere, and someone says, "Hey, Sedge, oh hi," you know. Yeah.
It's
I
the
like
worst when you're trying to go
people.
To the bathroom and that happens.
Oh my god! I mean, it was okay. Funny. So 2 years ago, I met Derek from Malden, and I was heading to the head, and I said, "I'll be right out." And I came out, and we sat. I think it was around 1 or 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And we just started shooting the shit. And next thing I know, an hour and a half had gone by. He's such a cool dude. And that's when I first met him. And it was, I just like to chill. And we just shot the shit.
Yeah, that's an example of what you just said happening 10, 15 times in a day. There's your day. You know?
Yep.
There's your day right there. It's late. All of a sudden, you're like, I can't believe it's 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning. It's unbelievable, but it's always fun. It's always different every year, but
It's
it's
so much.
always,
Now I'm even more excited about it.
yeah, it's, you never know what's going to happen in the, you know, the dynamics of how it is. But I do like that we're doing it at the same hotel every year, and I know the layout and how that part goes, because when we were changing venues, it made it a little bit harder because you were figuring out, okay, where are the classes? What, how are we doing this? Where are the rooms? But this is all kind of in the same place, and it's a lot easier to mentally just stay in, and like you said, jump out. If you want to go upstairs, jump out in the room, you can.
Speaking of that, I should find out tomorrow by 2 p.m. If I got that suite upgrade.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Because I mean, we could go up there and hang, couldn't we?
Yeah.
We absolutely could. I mean, I didn't know I had those rewards, but I do. And when I booked this hotel, it asked me if I wanted to use some. And I think the reason is because this hotel actually does have suites. It usually doesn't ask me on any of the other ones, but I'm like, I didn't even know I had them. Sure, I'll use them. So
We'll be
it,
up there with Kristen. She's on that floor.
oh, is she?
Yeah. They gave us one year, Cameron and I. We were right next to them. We were the room next to them.
I think
It has a
Cats
living
Moses
room.
had one year, and a bunch of people went up party. They're really nice, apparently. I
Yeah,
looked at
it's
the
like a living
pictures.
room, dining room. It's like pretty much like a 2-bedroom, 3-bedroom apartment, pretty much.
Yeah, I was like, sign me up.
Yeah.
I got an email about it the other day. I said, you'll know, you'll have a decision by 2 p.m. the day prior to your check-in, and I'm going Wednesday. So.
I'm gonna make a call. I'm gonna be like, this is so and so with the FBI. I want you to be look out for a guy named Jason Bent. We've got our eye on him. We need him on a low
Yeah.
floor. We'd like to have him on the floor 2, preferably right over the bar area.
Yeah, you know, honestly, that would be a probably a much better spot because
Oh, it does
that's the
get
worst
louder.
part is like I got to go back to my room and you got to go up to like the ninth floor,
Well,
walk all
and
the way around the thing, get your stuff, come back around, go down the stairs. It's just such a pain in the butt.
the higher you are, the louder it is too, I've learned. The sound in that atrium goes
Oh my
up,
God.
and the higher you are, the more you hear at night with echoing.
That's why you bring in earplugs.
Yes, that's a thing to pack, and I need to remember that. I'm just going to bring my Festool noise canceling with laser sights. Shoot off those shoot off those loud sounds. I've got a You know, pretty much I'm leaving on Wednesday, so I have like one tomorrow is my I have to do everything that I need to do tomorrow.
Me too.
Everything. Everything.
That's why Sedge asked. We were supposed to go to Nicole and I were going to go to Ale Emporium to get some wings tomorrow, but I just don't, before I leave, I just don't know if I'm going to be able to go because I got a bunch of crap that I got to do. I need to get
Yeah.
my hair cut, need to pack,
I gotta get my
laundry.
hair cut. Yeah. Wednesday, got my
Yeah.
hair cut.
Yeah, it
That
looks good.
hurts.
I see, Sedge. It looks
It is
good.
long. Well,
Yeah.
no,
Well, I tell you.
I go to that one, stud cuts.
Stud cuts. You have to have a card.
Yeah.
That's funny.
It's funny
Ronnie.
because I have my list of stuff I need to pack and chill and get everything ready.
Ronnie, you know what I just realized?
What?
We were supposed to have a guest tonight.
I had a situation happen that I need to regroup. That's the best thing I can say. Since we're having our guest secret, I can't really say any more than that. But
We can do it.
missed
Monday
it.
is off.
Yeah.
Next after work bench con is not going to be a good day to do it, but
Right. It will help.
next month we'll do your guest.
Yes, that'll
Oh,
be good.
okay.
That'll be good.
Unless we just want to skip you and Sedge, do you have somebody in mind?
Not at the moment.
I'll.
Let's
Mine
keep the
will,
cadence.
you got
Ronnie,
some
you
extra
find
time.
somebody.
I have already, mine will be more concrete in a couple of days.
Oh, he's going to
You
ask
know,
somebody at work bench con.
well, some things are easier there.
Well, while we're there, actually, that may not be a bad thing. We could start identifying maybe some additional people that we're not thinking about to have
Yeah.
on.
Well, so yeah, to that point, I have about three that I have in mind, and I want to touch base with all of them because it's so much easier to do it in person instead of
Yes.
just blindsiding them. So I want to give them notice and fill them out. So I actually do have three that so I just want to find that I want to talk to them there. It's just easier, you know, trying to message them and or call or anything like that. So yeah, we'll have some good guests this year. I'm positive. Even without knowing your alls. We already had Jason Hibbs and
Nicole the other day, we were trying to we were setting up all these like test meetings to try to figure out in Zoom how we could do this to where the name doesn't pop up, and we just could not figure it out. So, because even if we do a waiting room, it'll say for me on my screen, it'll say, you know, Jason Hibbs is in the waiting room, right?
But what about Patrick always puts Jason Bent on his when he joins? So why don't they just not put their name on there? We'll tell them how to take their name off.
That's what I don't know, because Jason said, I need to talk to Patrick about that.
Yeah,
because
he's always says your name on there.
Well, Jason said his didn't ask him. It just, he automatically had one. So Nicole's assumption was that he already has a Zoom account and it just defaults, because I don't do anything with mine. Mine pops up.
Yeah, I'm sure Jason. You can go into your settings on Zoom and you could say what your name is, your screen name. I'm sure
they
that's
would have
option.
To do that before they joined them.
Yes. Yeah. So that would be part of their, here's preferences on here.
Oh, I'm the, sure, it's balloons.
I'm was, sure.
Fireworks.
That,
squirrel.
Use enter full screen when joining your name. That's a preference. It's a preference. So that we just need to find exactly what that is, and we can let them know. As
you know,
far
we need
as,
to do. We should probably what? Just switch to an actual podcast streaming platform. And as much as it pains me to say this, the one that the worst woodworking podcast in the entire world, Off the Cut, available on Apple and Spotify, they use a really good software program. So maybe I just need to, while we're at WorkbenchCon, I just need to pull Eric aside and talk to him face to face, even
help.
Though it's going to make me vomit.
Oh, don't ask him for help.
Like, hey, yeah, you're right. You know what? I can't. I will find somebody else that uses the same software.
But is the names the only reason why we'd be doing it? Because I think it's easy to do it if you look.
Well,
at your
it's just a better software. Like it'll look nicer. It's you for people that are like watching it, especially.
Oh, okay.
There are a lot of benefits to it, and
okay.
I mean, I don't
it'll
know.
Make
we'll
look
we'll
better.
See.
Yeah, I don't know.
But
how you
it'll
can
make
any
you
better,
look
Sitch.
Better. It'll make you look 30 years younger.
You're the best looking instructor I've ever seen in my life.
Thank you.
Thank you.
He was talking to me.
I was talking. I can see both screens at the same time. So
yeah.
There we go.
Yeah, I would rather die than ask any member of Off the Cut for help. Because the minute that we do that,
I know
they're gonna call us out.
Will not stop talking. Well, they'll work it in between when they're talking about wedge salads and falafels and all kinds
God.
Of other ridiculous shit.
Oh, that's funny. We're going to need to go boxing ring up in the lobby.
I'm actually very, very excited to see them. I love those guys.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's just start a fight. Like have like a big, like start pushing each other. Enough people start going around
cool.
And it'll be like, what's up, Spinsley?
Yeah.
I'd like to fight.
I'd be like, Off the Cut sucks. And they'd be like, Green Suitor sucks. And everybody start going, oh, there's going to be a fight.
There's going to be a fight. I'm going to smash my beer bottle on the
See how far we can take
table.
It. Sedge will reach in his pocket and pull out a T-lock.
Let's try to get arrested.
Don't make me use this T-lock.
Sedge can throw arrested.
Sedge can throw a T-lock through a watermelon. A lot of people probably don't realize that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've seen him do
it.
It's an
actual
thing. Yeah, he can lodge it in through watermelon. Almost come out the other side.
It's an actual thing.
That's true.
Grasshopper.
Well, guys, I don't know if you noticed, but it is now after 7 o'clock.
And it's just getting dark. Yes.
I love this podcast. I really do. We had zero plans whatsoever. And because we're all such great friends, we can talk for the entire time.
We solved all the world's tax insurance problems.
We gave amazing insurance and tax advice.
Yes.
Sedge only fell asleep 3 times during the podcast. We talked crap about Off the Cut. We talked about how difficult my retired life is.
It's important for people to know, if you follow our tax or insurance advice, if you have any problems in your own and you want us to come and be with you during an audit, or to talk to your insurance agent, we will do that. It's part of the being a patron.
Speaking of coming to be with you.
Jesus Christ, Ronnie, don't open up a goddamn can of worms.
If you want the chance for me, Ronnie, and Sedge to come hang out with you in your shop and tell you everything you need to know about taxes and insurance or shop stuff, whatever, or just drink beer.
Well, balance.
Consider becoming a patron at the journeyman or master level. It will get you a chance for us to come out and visit you in your shop. All expenses paid by us, and we'll take you to dinner.
Yes.
Wingies.
It's a good deal.
But if you just want to hang out and be part of the coolest community on Patreon, go be a member at any level and see all the perks that you get. Get access to our monthly giveaways.
Discord.
Bourbon with the boys. Discord. Beers with the boys. All of these great things. And hopefully everybody has their sticker by now.
Yes. Got ours, yes.
That's actually something that we will do moving forward. I know we never did that. I do that on my Patreon, but we never did it on the podcast because we didn't really have a lot of stickers. But now moving forward, any new patrons that we get, we'll be sure to send a sticker out to. But everybody should have their stickers that has filled out that survey by now, unless they were somebody that filled it out after Nicole sent out the reminder email. So those will be going out probably after WorkbenchCon now, because I don't have the time to do it before I leave, unless Nicole does it.
Yes. And we're also planning on having a little quick meeting, the three of us, while we're there. I've had some questions about different things, and I told them that we're planning on having a little sub meeting, and we'll talk about other things that throughout the year of what's being planned. We're going to talk about that a little bit too.
Yeah.
We're going to find a little, carve out a little time to do that.
Carve out a little time, hopefully in my suite.
Yes.
Just us and Cam.
Yes.
All right, everybody. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you after WorkbenchCon when our livers want to fail us.
Oh, my God.
Oh, God. It's going to be awful.
We'll see everybody at WorkbenchCon.
Yeah. And I'll see you, Ronnie. I'll see you on Wednesday. And Sedge, I'll see you on Thursday.
You betcha.
All right. You ready, Sedge?
Yep. Bye-bye.
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 Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.